Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Running through the defendant's mind explains why this happened. It does not justify his behavior.
So, you know the story. We've covered the story, since essentially the event happened. You have this military guy whose daughter goes and takes an Uber to Pensacola to do some inappropriate stuff. She's a minor. She comes back in the Uber, and he has been freaked out the whole time because he thinks that she's being, you know, trafficked or harmed. He's following her on the app. Uber driver pulls up to his house at night, you know, and he runs out there with his rifle and holds the dude at gunpoint and says, "Get down on the ground and tell me who you are." Takes his license, photocopies it. Everything's fine. Dude goes and calls the sheriff. Sheriff comes and arrests the guy for inappropriate use of a firearm, you know, assault. Okay, and assault with a deadly weapon, and even though you say, well, he didn't actually shoot, well, that's what assault is. It's a threat, okay? And there you have Assistant State Attorney Hayden Hudson. I believe I'm going on Channel 3's tag, so I assume they get it right. They usually do. Hayden Hudson saying, look, being worried about your daughter's life explains why he did what he did, but both legal and illegal acts have explanations. That does not justify, that does not make it legal. Your worry about your daughter doesn't justify legally you going and doing this with your rifle at night with this Uber driver. And so he asked the Uber driver, how did it make you feel to be held at gunpoint?
Now, when you were held at gunpoint, how did you feel?
Terrified. I pled for my life and said, I'm just an Uber driver. I have a son. Please don't shoot.
Yeah, so I'm scared for my life. I'm just here doing my job. Now you're kidnapping me. That was another one of the charges. And Hayden Hudson followed up with and explaining in the courtroom, look, this is not ordinary person behavior. We have rules about firearms. And the basic rule is what? We've talked about this hundreds of times. If your life is reasonably in danger or someone else's life is reasonably in danger, then you are allowed to use a gun. If you do not have that reasonable belief, then you're not allowed to use that gun. And so the question in this case was, when a car pulls up in your driveway and you don't know who it is for sure, you think it's your daughter in the Uber, but you don't know, and you don't know what's happened. I mean, you don't know it's an Uber, I suppose, unless you see the light. Is it reasonable to pull a gun, hold somebody at gunpoint, make them feel terrified for their life or not? And the assistant state attorney, the state attorney's office, and also the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office said, yeah. Because it's all the difference in my mind, my layman's explanation, it's all the difference in the world between on your property carrying a gun, menacing with a gun, or kind of brandishing but not pointing it at the person, and actually pointing it at somebody and threatening them. Those are three different things. And what the sheriff's office said and the state attorney said in this case is, well, pointing at him, that's, no, you can't do that one.
Submit to you that a reasonable person is not going to run up on a vehicle, not knowing who is in the vehicle, not knowing where the vehicle's coming from, having no facts about the occupants of that vehicle with a loaded firearm. This is not Fallujah, Iraq.
I kind of wish he hadn't said the last part, because now he's saying you're a hot mess because you served in the military and you got to distinguish. And it's true. You have to distinguish between combat and Santa Rosa County. It's true. But I think it was an unnecessary add-on to the comment. The first part carried the weight of the logic. The last part was sort of, like I said, unnecessary. So the jury goes back, and I was actually surprised how quick this happened. The jury goes back and says, no, it's all good. I mean, I don't know if they said it's all good, but they said not guilty. they acquitted him pretty quickly. And they said, you know, juries don't get to explain, but you get a jury verdict. And the jury verdict was no jail time. So outside afterwards, the defense team and also Sean Hollenbach had their comments. And defense attorney, again, Keith Kilpatrick. Sorry, I can't speak this morning.
He should have never been arrested. This was a father that protected his daughter. And they stopped at my client, you know, doing the right thing. And, picked him out. And he should have never been arrested.
Justin Sutherland, another part of the defense team.
And with this verdict today, it shows the parents of Santa Rosa County that it's not illegal to protect your children. And that's what's important.
He was just protecting his kid. He was doing what any parent in the circumstance would have done. He was making sure that, you know, God knows who's in that car driving her. And God knows what I'm going to be called upon to do. Let's get questions answered later, and let's just make sure that everybody's safe in the meanwhile. That's his defense. That's what the jury basically agreed with. And we'll come back to this in a second. A huge case here in Santa Rosa County. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. I-10, I-110, even through those construction zones are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So Sean Hollenbach himself commenting after the case.
If they just would have slowed it down and actually looked at the information instead of flying the plane right into the tunnel vision into the mountain. They destroyed my life. Lost my job. My family went through hell. It's absurd. If they just would have done their job.
That's a reference to the, and I know this more as a, I believe it's true, but there was a plane that, you know, they got fixated on a light that wasn't working, and then they wound up flying the plane into the mountain because they weren't paying attention to just flying the plane, you know, kind of, I think that's where that story comes from. But look, he's, you know, he's had his life turned upside down over this.
I said this in there and I mean it. I would rather get shot at than go through that again in combat.
Which is, I think, understandable because it's protracted, it's expensive, it's frustrating. You want to scream and yell. Like, I'm just doing what's in the interest of my family. Any parent in my circumstance would have done the exact same thing. How can you be prosecuting me for this?
It's a blessing. It's prayers are answered and common sense. I can't even believe my family had to go through this. I think from the testimony that came out, I hope that the sheriff's office reviews what happened and press charges on the right people.
And, you know, the Channel 3 reported that they're looking for an apology, and certainly that may well be. Channel 3 also, Jared Willits was actually this morning was reading something that the judge had said, talking about the defense claiming that it was a citizen's arrest.
The defense claiming Hollenbeck was making a citizen's arrest when he ordered the driver to the ground. The judge rejected that, saying, quote, if law enforcement behaved that way that Mr. Hollenbeck behaved, they would have had an uprising to point a gun at someone, order them around without any information. I don't believe law enforcement can behave like that, unquote.
So what do you think? 437-1620, if you, because there's all kinds of people who you can evaluate their choices in this situation. You obviously can evaluate the choices of the daughter. You can evaluate the choice of the Uber driver. Did he know? Could he have known? Should he have known? Why are you going to this place at night, late? Why, you know, taking her where she went? Coming back, did he do everything okay, the Uber driver? Obviously the dad, you know, what did he do? Was it justified to carry, justified to brandish, justified to point at? And, I mean, you know, a citizen's arrest is just kidnapping with other terminology. Right, a citizen's arrest is justified kidnapping, not justified. And then you have decisions by the sheriff's department, sheriff's officers on the scene, state attorney's office deciding to prosecute, right? And then the jury deciding to acquit. Lots of choices to evaluate here. I'm super sympathetic to what he did. I could easily imagine almost anybody doing it. I can. But because of the hundreds of conversations I've had with law enforcement on this exact subject, I would like to think that under the circumstances, I would have known better than to do it because I do think what he did was illegal. That said, there's still judgments to be made about whether the state attorney's office should have prosecuted. It's not really up to the deputies whether they enforce the law or not. The deputies are supposed to follow the law. You don't want deputies making decisions about, you know, whether the law was, I mean, if the law was broken, then they make an arrest. It's not their job to decide to not prosecute. I mean, maybe the sheriff could make that decision. Maybe not. State attorneys certainly within their purview to say, you know what, in this case, it's okay. In this case, it's understandable. Because what they're thinking about is, what do we want people doing with their guns? Do we want people running around, even when they feel very justified and emotional and passionate about their kids, drawing a gun on somebody else in this circumstance? Is that a pattern we want to see replicated? To me, this is actually, and this is not quite right. I feel horrible for what he went through. Because I can understand exactly why he did what he did and why other people would do the exact same thing. And I think that what he's had to endure as a result of doing what he thought was in the best interest of his daughter in a scary situation, I mean, I believe it's cost him lots of money. I mean, he's not going to get those attorney's fees back. It's not like a, you know, there's nobody to sue to get the money back, right? It's not like a civil violation, I would think. I mean, I don't think he's going to be able to get money from Uber. Maybe he's going to try. But probably not attorney's fees for the criminal charge, even though he got acquitted. But putting that part aside, which I hate to have happen, I think the jury probably did the right thing. We have a principle called jury nullification. Jury nullification is specifically for the case where you say, we, the jury, believe the facts show the law was broken and we're not going to punish this person. Jury nullification is the last line of defense against a government that's made either an unjust law, period, or a just law that somehow doesn't quite do justice under the circumstances of this particular case. So I may have no problem with the jury acquitting him. I say, Andrew, I thought you said that's not how you're supposed to use a gun. It isn't. But I thought you said it's okay for the jury to acquit him. It is. Because that's literally the exact concept of jury nullification. The reason we try you by a jury of your peers is because the other residents of Santa Rosa County are the last line of saying whether the law is right or not in this particular case. And you could try other cases where people are charged with, you know, aggravated assault and kidnapping under similar circumstances, perhaps, maybe not identical, but even so, other juries might come to a different conclusion. And based on, again, the deference to a jury in the situation, that's fine too. Jury nullification does not create a precedent. Jury nullification is a single case where the jury says not this time. And in the end, the thing that I hate the most is that we have a legal system that makes it so expensive and so difficult to get an acquittal. That's frustrating. Because in an ideal world, this could have been resolved in a day or two. In an ideal world, this could have been resolved in a day or two at a very low expense. They could have had a trial. They could, I mean, you know, we just, let's talk it out. Let's figure, okay, yeah, we see that in this case. And maybe you do have to have a trial so that the jury can nullify the law without changing the law. But even that, you know, these things could have been done a lot faster. So in my opinion, the real thing to blame here, if you want to blame something, is blame the system that puts the price tag on getting an acquittal so high. Because again, I think the law is reasonable. I think the behavior was illegal, but I also think the jury was well within its powers and rights and authority and responsibility as citizens to say, not this time, it's okay, we understand. And if that could have all been handled in the course of a week, you know, I mean, cool. The fact that it took all this time and all this money, that's the real problem. Your text in just a moment. 624 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just fantastic at this. They get all the details. They get all the patterns. They get all what the market is doing right now, what's normal to ask for, what people shouldn't ask for, what you got to say yes to, what you can definitely say no to, or what you can maybe haggle on. That's the experience that comes from selling 165 homes last year, three, three and a half, four every single week. They know, they have the confidence that comes from experience, and they can help you get the results that you want. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you, but if you're at the intersection of 98 and Lillian Highway, we have a disabled ECUA truck on Lillian Highway at the intersection. No delays right now, but when the tow truck gets there, there will be. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Head over to Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk for their annual music festival and bathtub races. The fun starts at noon this Sunday with Bangarang Peter, bathtub races at 2, with proceeds going to the Pensacola Beach Elementary School. Then Edgewood Heavy at 3:30, fireworks at 8, and then the Dirty Fridays hit the stage. Also, check out the local artists in the amphitheater stage for more live music. That's all this Sunday at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk.
The Big Bamboo!
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
Excuse me. Okay, that's the last straw.
Got a bunch of texts in here on the case in Santa Rosa County that just resolved yesterday. We're talking about it quite a bunch. If you missed the conversation, go back and listen to the podcast later. But the texts coming in, people saying, let's see, I feel like a serviceman or law enforcement officer carrying a weapon out of their home is different than just a layman carrying a weapon out of their home. I would not be comfortable running outside with a weapon in my hand, but my husband, who's retired law enforcement, it'd be normal practice for him. Somebody says, James says, I'm as pro 2A Second Amendment as it gets, but I think this man showed a lack of discipline and restraint. He went way too far. John asked, did he get an apology from his daughter? Good question. Somebody says, probably would not have pointed the gun at the driver until I perceived an actual threat. And that is all the line. That exactly is the line. On your own property? And you know what? It was on his property, right? It wasn't off his property into the public right away. On your own property, perfectly fine to carry, probably perfectly fine to brandish, although it's not much distinction, not perfectly fine to point at. I mean, frankly, you know, or to then coerce somebody into behavior. But yeah, my children, no time for games, the same person said. Let's see, where did it go? Somebody just says, I agree with you, Andrew. On another note, I honestly think he got off because he's ex-military and a doctor. A regular Joe like us would probably have been convicted. Somebody else says this. I hate to say this, but if he was black, he'd be in jail right now. There's no way I'd get off for this. I don't know, but these are the things that people are saying. Somebody says, I'm an Uber driver for 9 years. First mistake by the driver is giving a minor a ride. If the dad had looked at the waybill, all this could have been avoided. Somebody else says, I guess his daughter will learn to never take responsibility for her actions. More infantilizing of women until we are property of our father and our husband. My parents would have been very angry with me. Don't know that we'd have to go down the feminist road on this one, but okay, fine. And somebody else, Michael says, so many times a divorce can go through a mediation. Could this case have gone through mediation? Yeah, it seems like if you're going to put blame somewhere, in my mind, it would go onto the system itself and how it's structured, and if at all, onto the state attorney's office and the decision making in the prosecution. Personally, that's the way I look at it. 6:29, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Three more places have joined a growing list of countries suspending parcel shipments into the U.S. because of tariffs. Japan, Australia, and Taiwan joining countries including India, South Korea, and New Zealand, who are suspending service until further notice, citing uncertainty over tariff policies. And looks like negotiations at the Boeing defense plant in the St. Louis area will not be taking place now until after the Labor Day holiday.
So the union is pushing it back past the union holiday.
I believe it's Boeing that's pushing it back.
Oh, yeah, Boeing. Well, in the discussion with the union. Okay.
Right.
All
yeah.
right. Fair enough. David, thank you so much for the update. We'll talk ECUA. And Bruce Woody will be coming up next. Stick around.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump held a cabinet meeting yesterday and announced his latest move in his crime crackdown.
If somebody kills somebody in the Capitol, Washington, D.C., we're going to be seeking the death penalty.
Now, the city does not have the death penalty, but the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., which prosecutes crimes at both the local and the federal court, could bring federal charges in many capital eligible cases and seek it. And this comes as D.C. sees its first homicide in nearly 2 weeks.
That shooting took place early Tuesday morning after midnight when an adult male was found unconscious but breathing in Anacostia off Minnesota Avenue in southeast D.C. He later died in the hospital.
And that's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. President Trump's 50% tariff on India is now in effect. The new rate comes as punishment for India continuing to buy Russian oil. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees right now. Looks like cloudy skies. Of course, we'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A 56-year-old woman from Holt has been arrested after allegedly threatening to shoot up the Sandy Sansing Mazda dealership. Kellyanne Bolton was taken into custody. This was back in July 31st in Okaloosa County, and extradited to Escambia County the following day. She is charged with making an electronic threat to conduct a mass shooting. Now, this incident happened in June. An employee was attempting to collect insurance information for a vehicle Bolton and her daughter had purchased. A frustrated Bolton then sent a text message to the dealership's sales phone stating, quote, "I'm about to be the one that shoots a place up. I'm scaring myself. I'm not feeling boundaries." Well, Bolton denied making the threat and also said she doesn't own a gun. However, the phone records did link her to the message. She was released from jail earlier this month after posting $7,500 bond. Bolton has pleaded not guilty. She's due back in court this November. A Pensacola man has been arrested on charges including lewd and lascivious molestation after allegedly grooming a 13-year-old girl over several years. 52-year-old James Lee Carter was arrested this month. The victim reported hundreds of incidents of inappropriate touching and comments, with one recent incident recorded in his semi-truck. Carter's been released on $250,000 bond and ordered to have no contact with the victim. He's due back in court this Friday. The city of Pensacola responding to FDOT's deadline to remove that BLM mural on North A Street. Mayor Reeves says the city wants to comply, but just doesn't have the manpower to get it all done by September 4th.
That work to be done, the road has to be closed, which means there's going to be road closures happening, at least in the left-hand turn lane going off Cervantes, which is a road we don't control. So again, when you put all of it together, how quick can a city of 55,000 have the manpower to go take something on and have it done in a matter of days? In addition, the complexity of a state road and its proximity that we don't control, we can't close down the same way that we can close a city road.
And Mayor Reeves says they're asking FDOT to go ahead and remove that mural for them. Reeves says the city has a good working relationship with the state agency, and they're not trying to be adverse to the mandate. He also said that there's no type of political stance on removing the content of the mural. They're just following state and federal law. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis was on Fox News yesterday questioning the need for H-1B visas. He tells Fox that he thinks the visa program is a total scam. The governor said it's used by companies who lay off American workers and try to suppress wages, and he compared that program to indentured servitude. Well, a public official facing criminal charges in Gadsden County, Quincy City Clerk Janice Shackelford, was arrested yesterday on charges of fraud, grand theft, forgery, and misuse of a public office. The state attorney's office says she sold cemetery plots for cash, then printed fake documents to conceal the actions. Right now, there's no word on how long that may have been going on, but prosecutors say they've been investigating her for several months, and she's due in court today. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly so far this morning. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures slightly below average, topping out around 87 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Rain chances build back into the forecast on Friday, 30% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 72 degrees in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors looked ahead to a raft of economic data for the week. The 10-year Treasury yield was less than a basis point higher to 4.259%, while the 2-year yield was also higher by less than one basis point at 3.651%. President Trump said he is prepared to impose economic sanctions against Russia if its president, Vladimir Putin, fails to agree to a ceasefire in its war with Ukraine. Trump has been working to secure a one-on-one meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Putin. A day after President Trump said he will remove Lisa Cook from her position on the Federal Reserve Board, her lawyer said she will sue to challenge the dismissal, arguing the president has no authority to remove her. The administration claims that Cook engaged in mortgage fraud before she was confirmed. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 135, the NASDAQ up 94. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air. Tune in tomorrow at 9. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Time just makes me happy. It's so good. 640 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. That is the music for Executive Director Bruce Woody of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. The sewer and water and they don't call it trash. They call it sanitation and recycling, but, you know, whatever. words are words. Bruce Woody, welcome back, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
Great to have you. Before we get to what the board did yesterday, and they did a lot, I did want to ask you, there was an article, I believe it was in the PNJ, about how you've been doing septic-to-sewer conversions, and it's cost an awful lot of money between the county and the ECUA and the state and, you know, millions of dollars in order to improve water quality and effectiveness of service because septic tanks are, you know, not ideal, especially in a coast. And yet not very many people are signing up because the connection fees are high. And so on a per capita basis, it looks like an extravagant use of money. And I knew you'd want to talk about this since you're a big advocate, as I am also, of converting people from septic to sewer. So can you give us some perspective on this this story?
Sure. We do septic to sewer projects when we can in certain areas when grants are available. Most of the grant incentives across the state are for watersheds who drain to impaired water bodies. In our area, Bio Chico is one that has a impairment that the state is wanting to improve upon, and therefore offers some grant opportunities. We track the amount of connections made to various projects we do all over the county. Quite frankly, and initially the connection rate is less than 50%, but over a longer period of time, by year 10, after having connected, that number is higher. It gets up to about 77%. Still, that's not 100% by any means. We try to incentivize that by waiving the impact fees. If you connect the first year for a residential connection, that's over $1,600, and that helps a little bit. But it's still a challenge. There are some folks who, even if, particularly in neighborhoods who have lower incomes, it is a challenge to make the connections. The county is a wonderful partner. However, they have a CRA program and CDBG program that for income-qualified homeowners, they can have most, if not all, of their connection fee. That is the cost to hire a plumber to connect their home to the sewer. That portion of the connection fee paid for actually through county programs, which then reduces their cost to really little more than the additional monthly sewer bill.
The fee of actually operating.
Once you're connected, yeah.
Yeah, very good. And I like the perspective. It's more of a, you know, hey, be patient. You know, it may not show initial results, but, you know, water quality matters and obviously matters a lot. I just want to make sure I know this, and I feel like I should know this, but I want to make sure I get it right. The Jones Swamp area, you know, that Myrtle Grove kind of area, that is a feeder. It goes I tend in my head to think water goes west, but I know it doesn't all. That water goes east to a Bio Chico. Is that right?
I believe so.
Okay. But in any case, that's the vicinity that we're talking about where a lot of these projects have been, right?
Quite a few of them more recently have been in Brownsville, but we've had them,
all over
north and northeast of the Navy base.
Okay.
As well.
Very good. Yesterday at the meeting, your board voted finally on a rate increase. Is that right?
Yes. On an annual basis, we take a look at revenues and expenses and address the gaps. We are a public entity, so we don't have a profit motive. We don't sell stocks and pay dividends and those sorts of things. Our goal is to provide efficient service at the lowest cost we can. However, as costs go up for us, cost of chemicals, cost of benefits for employees and things like that, we do have to adjust rates periodically. This year, a recommendation was made and approved by the board for a 3% rate increase. If you're a typical user of our services at a rate of about 6,000 gallons per month, that would increase your water portion of your bill by 99 cents, your wastewater portion of your bill by $1.17. And if you also have sanitation services with us, that's 77 cents. That would be a total of $2.93 if you have all three services.
All right. So, and that's a monthly, right? That's $3 a month?
That's correct.
All right. Well, nobody likes a rate increase, but also as somebody who has to pay it, along with the, you know, increase in the fire and the increase in the school. And, it's not even nickel and diamond to death, but it does feel like a lot. But at the same time, I understand, you know, you operate within an environment and costs are what they are. So I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Bruce Woody, the executive director of ECUA. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98. I'm not seeing any delays this morning on those. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We were talking before about the septic to sewer conversions, and Bruce Woody, you had said your board yesterday took up another septic to sewer conversion project, right?
Yes, we received a number of grants a few years ago for the Brownsville area, and we just awarded last night a project in that area, specifically just north of Mobile Highway between Dominguez and North Kirk Street, about four blocks north, just south of Avery. This will serve 115 homes. It's a total investment of $6.1 million, and we'll also, while we're in there, since the right-of-way will be disturbed, we'll also be replacing water service lines in that area as well. So it's we got four bids on it, so they were pretty competitive. We're pretty excited about that. Shows that the construction market is stabilizing a little bit, perhaps. And that project will start this fall.
I wish it weren't $52,000 per household, but prices are what they are. I'm with you. You know, if we're trying to improve water quality and we're trying to, you know, get people on the sewer, I get it. And especially if you're using grant money, it doesn't directly cost me, but of course, indirectly, government money is government money. Let's see.
You make a very good point. We did discuss that. When you subtract off the water line portion, it is $48,000 per connection. $24,000 of that's paid by ECUA, the other by a federal grant. The cost of connections wasn't that many years ago when it was in that $5,000 to $10,000 range, and jumped up into $15,000 to $20,000.
Had we only
the last 2 years, it is more than doubled.
Had we only, right? From the beginning or, you know, early on in the afterwards. The Marcus Bayou Boardwalk, you guys completed that, right? Had the grand opening, reopening?
Yes, had ribbon cutting. It's getting a lot of use. That entire boardwalk is a little over 2 miles in length. It's got two entrances, one off of Fayal, another one just a couple blocks to the north. It's a wonderful walk through the wetlands environment. You see birds, all kinds of plants and animals. So if you haven't visited it in some time, please come back. Brand new boardwalk and board rail. It's really, really nice. Amenity for the community.
It's a great walk with the, with the family. It's a great walk just for birding. I mean, it really is. It's a wonderful little amenity. Not even little, 2.5 miles. I mean, it's huge, but it's, you know, it's a wonderful amenity. The city is doing its recycling program with you guys, and according to the mayor, it's going great. Very low contamination rate. Again, for people who are not familiar, Contamination is not the food you left inside the ragu jar. Contamination is putting styrofoam that doesn't recycle, or putting, you know, big pieces of wood that, oh man, wood's recyclable, right? No, no, it's not. It's not one of the approved categories. But the contamination rate is very low, right, Bruce?
Yeah, typically contamination falls into two categories. Folks who are wishful in thinking that something can be recycled, but it really can't. And then the other category is people who really just don't care about the program, and they're literally putting their trash in the recycling can.
Right.
Our own customers, ECA customers, on average, we have a contamination rate that runs in the 45 to 50% rate. Sad to say.
We suck. I didn't know. Was that for the whole county? It's 45%?
Yes, yes. City of Pensacola previously was in the same category.
Yeah.
However, they've changed models. They are now have a subscription-based service, meaning that people pay a little extra to have recycling services. So if you're paying for it, you're obviously going to be committed to it. And therefore, contamination has sunk to only 8%. Even if you include glass, which isn't revenue-producing, that's still only 16%. And really, 15% is the golden industry standard that everybody tries to achieve, and that's cool as there.
Have you guys talked at all about following the pattern of making recycling a cost-based opt-in to solve the contamination issue? I know, you know, it's a different program, and I'm an ECUA customer, you know, but have you guys been looking at this and said, oh, wow, that's pretty dramatic, or is there any consideration to change?
Yeah, we have talked on occasion with the board. The staff is doing some more number crunching to show what some of the impacts would be. We're a much larger, diverse area, so that would our costs would be a little bit higher, particularly in the northern parts of the community. But staff is certainly interested in it as an option. I think we'd be a lot more efficient in terms of producing the service, and it would keep costs down at the MRF as well.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to future conversations about that. Last thing,
yes.
I don't know if you saw, and if you didn't, I apologize for springing it on you, but the Perdido Bay, Pensacola Estuary, many letters, words strung together program. Matt Posner's great. But they put out their report yesterday, and I thought the findings were kind of mixed but positive. You know, Pensacola Bay oysters are in critical condition. That's not great. More sanitary sewer overflows into Pensacola Bay. Beach advisory numbers have been pretty consistent. Manatee sightings are up. Consistent. Perdido Bay, though, fewer sanitary sewer overflows, fewer beach advisories. Seagrass beds are stable in both Pensacola and Perdido Bay systems. So this is a part of your world. This is largely the result of your world. I didn't know if you had any comment on the report or, you know, ups, downs, what you might learn from it.
Yeah. I really appreciate the work that they do in that program. Matt does, and his staff do a wonderful job. I haven't had a chance to read the entire report in detail. It just came out yesterday.
I read the
Cliff Notes version, but that's about it. We have three water reclamation facilities. We are very important partners in taking care of the environment in our area. We take that very seriously. Over on the Perdido Bay area, we have the Bayou Marcus Water Reclamation Facility. That discharges to a wetlands where we actually get some additional treatment as well. We believe that is an important factor. And we treat to advanced wastewater treatment standards at that facility. We also do that at the central water reclamation facility, which is where when they get rid of the main plant downtown, we move 17 miles to the north.
That's up towards the Sand or, you know, up towards the Crisp plant. If people geographically, if they're thinking about it, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Our discharges there are to spray fields and after treatment. Again, we treat to advanced wastewater treatment standards. That's a very modern new plant. Does a wonderful job. We receive regular silver and gold awards for compliance at that facility. We also have some important partners. Some of the effluent gets reused through FPL at their treatment plant, at their energy facility.
Yep. Water's a big part of that. Yep.
To, Some of that goes to IP, which ultimately gets discharged back to
huge water consumer, right? And then we actually saw your one out on the beach. You don't notice it driving on Fort Pickens, but or Vieta Luna, but we were out there in our boat going past it the other day, and I thought, I know what that is. that's cleaning up the beach water. That's good.
Yeah, that's right. In that program, we're currently investing millions of dollars in a reuse system. Right now, we already irrigate all of the medians, or most of the medians, I should say, along the Vieta Luna. And that program and project is being extended further to the east. We may eventually reach the
seashore, the Gulf Islands National Seashore.
Yeah, I can clear over to the east, and okay. We also might be going down to Fort Pickens way. So
we've got
two more phases of that project. When that is completed, all of our effluent will go to a reuse program. Some of the hotels will be able to tap into that and use it for irrigation as well.
Hey, that's all part of the system of reusing our water, keeping things clean. Bruce Woody, he's the executive director at ECUA. Bruce, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunities. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 655 News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We've got a couple of accidents that just popped on the big board right now. I-10 westbound, right around mile marker number 17, which is as you're approaching Pensacola on the Escambia Bay Bridge. Then we've got another one that just happened at Bay Boulevard and Gulf Breeze Parkway over in Gulf Breeze. Both of those are causing some minor delays in our area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Markets may be unpredictable, but your cleaning service shouldn't be. At Janny King, the king of clean, we work with you to build custom cleaning programs that fit your facility and your budget. Our local franchise owners deliver reliable, hands-on service backed by regional support, so you get flexibility, consistency, and peace of mind. That's one less thing to worry about. Head to JannyKingCleans.com to learn more. That's JannyKingCleans.com.
Janny King, the king of clean.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Is it my imagination, or does every woman in New York have a severe emotional problem?
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you would like a chance to win tickets to see FSU play Alabama at home this Saturday in Tallahassee, open the app, the News Radio Pensacola. Look it up, News Radio Pensacola app, and it'll pop up a contest for you. If it doesn't pop up, you probably need to install an update for the app. You may have had it for too long, which we appreciate that, but that's the only thing we have run into a little bit. If you want to have a chance to win, go ahead and enter your information into the pop-up contest that shows up on the app when you open it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. FEMA suspending a dozen employees, or over a dozen employees, after they signed an open letter blasting the Trump administration's leadership. About 180 current and former FEMA staffers warned that inexperience at the top could lead to a major disaster. By last night, multiple employees had been placed on administrative leave. President Trump has launched a new legal appeal after a New York court upheld civil fraud findings against him but tossed out the $500 million penalty. While the appeals court struck the fine, it did keep a ban preventing Trump and his sons from holding executive roles in New York companies. Yesterday, Trump's lawyers filed a notice that they intend to challenge that ruling.
Generally speaking, as a leader and an organization, you want to not punish people who bring you bad news. Generally speaking. Local.